Blog Talk Radio.
Because I know you hurt your ankle the last time I talked with Leo.
Yeah, I broke it.
Oh. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. But I'm trying hard to recover. No, I was hiking and I slipped and twisted it. I thought it was just twisted, but when I went to the doctor, it was to the hospital, it was broken. I was very surprised.
Mm.
But nonetheless, that's the way it is, so now it has to heal.
How are you doing there, George?
And what does that mean, Lila? Now you have to heal.
Well, the bone was completely broken. It wasn't just fractured. It was broken right in half. So
okay.
It has to fuse together.
She's walking around with a cast on.
Yeah, it feels like walking around with a 20-pound block of cement at the end of my foot.
Yeah.
One time I broke my arm, so I know how heavy they could be. But
Now they don't really have those plaster casts, just in some instances. This is a big boot made out of plastic and foam, and you can put it on and take it off.
Okay.
It's not that heavy, but it's really
after 12 hours with it, Leo, it's pretty heavy.
But,
I'm sure.
It's annoying more than anything else. I just hope I heal quickly so I can return to my normally active life. It's kind of restrictive. For a person like me, that's probably the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a person who likes to sit around and read. I like to get up and do.
And you still do?
Yeah, I keep going to the gym. I'm doing upper body stuff, so I'm not letting it get me down.
Okay, well, that's what more can you do at this point, you know?
You just have to go. Yeah, you have to go with it. So that's the best. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling fine. I'm just trying to keep up with things, and at this point, you know, that's my biggest problem is just keeping up with things.
Yeah.
I think that's true for everybody. The way events are speeding up, there's so much happening so quickly. And it is hard to keep up. I think it's hard for everybody to keep up with the way events are spinning.
And I think, too, that it's not just the daily busyness. It's the calamity that you see all around you. And you know,
I'd agree with that.
You know, like, a lot of a sprained foot, but a broken foot. But you know, that's so minor next to these poor people up here that have been flooded out or,
hungry.
Destroyed or the hundreds of millions of people that are hungry right now and, being foreclosed on. And it's just an unbelievable time. I never experienced the Great Depression, and I'm sure that was probably similar.
I can remember talking to my parents about it. They had lived through the Depression.
Right.
It was horrible.
Yeah, mine too.
And they, there was no Social Security. There were no medical benefits. And my mother had a brother who died because of the stress of he had no job. He had to go to work on one of those gangs. And he caught tuberculosis and he died.
Yeah.
And
that was a very big disease back then.
That's right. And there wasn't much that could be done for him.
Oh.
And her family was fortunate. My grandfather had a job.
Right.
A lot of people didn't have a job. Wife died. And so he had, four kids to take care of. It was very, very tough.
But these times are back for so many people, and and you see the impotence of government to handle this stuff, and you see the calamity going on. But what's worse is that the worldwide revolutions that are happening, and they're happening now here in the United States. They definitely are. It's not being covered by the media because they're trying to keep people,
in ignorance.
But it's happening everywhere. This occupation of Wall Street. There are 50,000 people down there on Wall Street, that are still there. They're camping out the entire weekend, but they were there
to make a statement about the bankers
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Folks, we talked about this stuff years ago. When I say we, on our show here, we've gone into this and how things were changing, and when they changed, we noted them. But, this is something that's escalated to the point of, there's something's got to give. And, it's what more can happen? What more can happen?
Don't want to say that, but I'm sure there is more. I think we're at a level. I was looking at some polls lately, and I can't remember a time in my life, even when Nixon was president, that the government had like an 85% dislike and distrust by the American people.
Well, what's it like?
It's like way, way down, and it's like.
I look at it. I don't even think about those things. I think about the parents and the kids that I deal with. This is an example of how bad it is, George. I had called a mother to come in to talk about the fact that one of her children didn't have glasses, and I wanted to help them either find the glasses or purchase glasses, and some other problems with her kids not doing homework. So I said, can you come in at 8:15? And she called me back and said, geez, I can't because at 8 o'clock I'm going to the food pantry and I want to get there first so that I get food for my family, but I'd be glad to come in right after that.
And then when she
came in, she said, I haven't started back to work yet, and my landlord wants 2 months' worth of rent that I couldn't pay for the summer. I had to stay home with my kids because I couldn't afford to pay a babysitter. That's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, and it's not just one. It's many and different variations of that with Lila's school counselor.
I just worry about kids having enough to eat and families,
But when you see that, when you see that 47 million people today are not only uninsured, but they're also on food stamps. Okay?
You don't know where the next meal is coming from.
And there probably is another 47 million that are just barely making it. All right.
These don't
qualify for food stamps.
These are people that are working.
They're working, exactly. They have two or three jobs in the family, and kids are working and everything just to try to support, either a house or a rent. And pay food and clothing, You know, it sounds like, oh, gee, you know, the great Republican way. You know,
trickle down. It never trickles down to people
that. You know, this and that. But just our jobs. You know, people. I mean, unbelievable number of people unemployed and been unemployed for years because they're either not.
Leo.
You know, yeah.
What you're saying is right. It's not working. And now is the point where we have to take stock because the illusion has been lifted. And
that's
if nothing else, that's what we've talked about in the last couple of years, how this illusion that's going on around us is being exposed for what it is.
Right.
And,
what
you know,
I hate
the people see that.
Is the pain that people are suffering.
Yeah.
It's just awful to see the pain in a mother's eyes when she can't afford to feed her family and...
Yeah.
She's worried about getting her job back so she doesn't get evicted, and it's awful.
It is, but there's definitely a problem, and I think we could take care of homelessness throughout the world. I mean, if we put in, let's say, $50 billion, we could do that for the world. And yet, you know, we have these astronomical military budgets of $600-700 billion. You know,
we would have made a lot more friends and gotten a lot further ahead instead of dropping bombs on Afghanistan if we gave the people food.
Oh, absolutely. Like that,
shenanigans.
That Wilcox website that I sent you the other day, in there, they were talking that $400 billion would be enough to end global poverty around the world.
That'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. $100 billion. Now,
that's not
what's this job deal with Obama that for $450 billion it'll put 2 million people back to work?
Well, you see, folks, the problem is too late. We can't do that now because now we're having a problem with the value of the thing that we're bartering with, and one of the problems that's going on over there in the East and so forth. Is that these people don't want paper anymore. They want the real thing. And you see, we got to come up with something of real thing. And the biggest thing that we have is really real estate at this point.
Yeah. And so
the Chinese are doing a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, but not just that. Bill Clinton, before he left office, signed away all our national parks. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Collateral for our debt. Yeah, son of a bitch. All right, and they're still been doing that.
And towns and cities have sold roads and bridges and toll booths and highways. God only knows how much has been given away. Our ports.
Yeah. Well, this work on our infrastructure, as far as we know, Bill, it seems like it's all owned by the states and by the federal government. A lot of it's been already sold off to the feds, to the private industry, to private investors, and we're going to foot the bill to fix them all up, all right? So it's like this is the kind of shit that our government continues to pull, all right, on the taxpayers. And, you know, this is the kind of shit that people have to wake up to and realize that we're getting screwed, glued, and tattooed, you know?
Well,
and until we get rid of this miserable government that we have, and right to the core, all right?
Leo, the people are waking up.
Nothing's going to happen, and get rid of these military-industrial complex, get rid of these miserable corporations who think they're human,
Well, they have all the rights that you do.
I know they do, but what I'm trying to say is we got to get rid of those people, rewrite our own constitutions.
Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say, George? Go ahead.
What's that?
George was going to say something.
Go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
I don't know what I could say now. You know, it's like the way the system is set up, it's a lose-lose situation. And either way we put a Band-Aid on it or try to change it around, it's not going to work. And that's the problem we find ourselves in right now. So, you know, it's a matter of let it all fall, then let's pick it up and rebuild it again, but we know our fallacy, so, you know, it's just standing clear of them. But, you know, I think at this point, we need more than a fix at this point. We need an intervention. And I think Mother Nature is doing a hell of a good job in distracting us, if nothing else. And since the last time we talked, there's been a lot of activity in the world.
Oh, yeah.
There's something I wanted to ask you tonight about that. And that
so that's my intervention. I'm looking at it right now.
And the intervention aspect of it was that site that I sent you the other day, Wilcox, he had done some research on he's known for his extraterrestrial research, and his one of the things that he posted and wrote about was what happened back in 1953 when there were many sightings of
aliens and extraterrestrials.
Okay, of UFOs and that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And he said human ETs visited Earth in the 50s and told us that ascension would be attainable in the near future. And thanks to the natural cycle, stunning new videos and documents have emerged. And these are the things that have happened. And these people were like, I don't know, 8 or 9 feet tall that had come down, mm-hmm. very friendly. And people all over the world came in contact with them and record records of it. And the things that they said, that they would be back in 2012. All right?
Oh, excellent. Are they very nice?
Yeah, they were very, very kind and very, very knowledgeable people.
Oh, that's good.
And they walked among us, you know, and they gave these prophecies and told these people, and there were visitations in Italy and in Germany, I believe, and all over Europe. And let's see, just something. I'll just briefly read it so I introduce it to people. But it says, in the beginning of the late 1940s and early 50s, human ETs began a systematic campaign to contact people in many different countries around the world. How could there be humans that look like us but were never born on Earth? And he's got a book called The Source Field Investigations where he talks about this. But what he says is that... he talks about having contact with aliens, okay, and how they stated that in 2012 they would be back.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He says as 2000 was right about becoming too... I'm trying to find the spot where it talks about that exactly. But
are you familiar with that, George?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with, you know, which group is saying this or what they're saying. You know, there's a lot of reasons why we're tuning into this 2012. And as far as I know, basically they're Earth orientated or they're connected with the Earth. It's like coming in contact with the galactic center, as the astronomers tell us that that's where our solar system is right now. I mean, there is a cycle of alignment, and we fall within, everything falls within the cycle. So, you know, or even the precession of the equinox, every 26,900 years, something in that figure. But, these are natural cycles, natural things that were going to happen. Now, in 1953... there was a lot of rumors around. Supposedly, they came out of the Eisenhower briefings, where Eisenhower,
he actually met with them and supposedly signed treaties of sorts.
Really?
Well, supposedly they did sign a treaty, but. Eisenhower was off supposedly on a dental trip to the dentist. At that time, there was a video taken, I guess, of this meeting, and it was just one of the contracts that we made you know, with the extraterrestrials. When I say we, United States, and I don't know, you know, I don't know how this group is connected with, you know, the government, but I know in 1953, from 1947 to 1953, I know they shot down about 18 different crafts, and that was using, you know, the technology of over the horizon radar, I think, or a property
it says that contact occurred in the 1950s and 60s. In the 1950s, contact included sightings, materialization cases, and persons meeting full board experiences of UFOs and a wealth of useful information that can transform our world. And it said, according to the laws of one series, multiple cases proved that the Earth-human ego could not handle the contacts. Various personality distortions emerged that erupted, disrupted, or destroyed the best-laid plans. And for this same reason, in-person contacts by Confederation positive ETs had been discontinued by 1981 when the Law of One series came through, and it appears to have dramatically decreased after the 1960s. He says, I have massively increased my research into this area. The legacy, he says, is the astonishing amount of data was left behind from these contacts, including photographs and film of UFOs in flight, audio recordings of ETs speaking, hundreds of pages of written documents, and a host of scientific breakthroughs, including working technological devices. And he says the vast majority of all this data was almost completely lost, but much of it has now been rediscovered and made public. And some of the most important parts will be made public for the first time ever within this article that he's talking about that's coming up. I think what knocked me out here is he says a stunning new information. He says before we get to the never-before-seen 50-year-old documents and what they actually said, I want to begin by saying, having you see it truly, there's a video here about what these aliens talk to people about. And it says, according to the laws of one, they apparently found out that people who were directly contacted invariably got a messiah complex or other such personality disorders. And he says, I was completely unaware of how many contacts had occurred and how worldwide the effect truly was, at least not until I saw this video. And he says, more importantly, this video serves as an introduction at large to a collection of 50s and 60 documents he's going to feature later. But he says the links, but the incredible thing about it is that he talks about this and how these people actually were spoke to so many people and told them these incredible things, and that they George.
Let's go to the original question here. And you said that they told us in 2012 something
right.
was to happen. So, you know, I'm trying to get an understanding, you know, what was their purpose of telling us anything?
Well,
telling us this.
There was a quarantine. And these people are here in order to help us to ascend, because there's a period of time. This period of time, they knew well, which was 26,920 years. This cycle where every planet that's inhabited with a humanoid species, they said, goes through this this period of ascension, and this where they physically transform into a more enlightened and spiritual beings, and this is all part of it. And these people are here come to tell us about it, and then they come again when we're going through it in order to help us ascend, help us get through it, because it's a very, very difficult period of time for people to understand. So
I wasn't under the pretext that we needed anything to ascend other than our own being.
Well, that's true. I understand that. But at the same time, It wouldn't hurt to have a few guides to tell you. You know what I mean?
Oh yes, it would.
We would
have conflicts of interest.
Ah, maybe.
And my point is that is why we have this polarity conscious reality that we're experiencing. It's not just the good,
right.
It's also
right.
the bad too. But I mean, you can get hung up, let's say, on how the good guys, you know, handle things and just ignore the bad side, but understand the bad side has a point too. But it's being locked into this cycle of either or and playing both sides. And, you know, we have no choice in that because we are a half of one and a half of the other, just like our biological makeup. If you look in a mirror, you can see this. Each half of us is two separate pictures, but it's also two separate experiences, not only in the physical world, but also in the mental world. And this ascension process is getting away from the splitting things apart and deal with the unity of both working together. And it's not a questioning how they or why they work together. It's a question of working with them instead of questioning them. And that's what we've been going through.
I don't see it as any different than, say, Drunvalo, descension, if you will, coming back to... advise the world or advise, you know, people of how to, of what they are capable of being, you know, and what they can expect to happen. And so, there have been people throughout recorded history that have come to Earth, been born or reincarnated or whatever they did, embodied other people in order to be teachers or to be spread the word. You know, like Christ, Muhammad, Buddha. You know, all these people that came to Earth to give a message of enlightenment, and that I can see. Why wouldn't there be, you know? Why wouldn't there be others, that are humanoid and people who have already ascended to higher levels, okay, and are messengers, if you will, to come back and instruct people in a perilous time, you know, to better achieve that higher dimension, you know?
Leo, if I could say, you know, I was thinking about this week and, you know, what we were talking about last week and how, you know, it's funny how things have been put together, the synchronicity of things. And yet, you know, I come to a point where, you know, what should I be looking at or what should I acknowledge? And it's like a waking dream that I'm involved with here. And, you know, it's just trying to... trying to experience this without having to experience it, and I can't make judgments on what's going to happen, and you know the big hype right now is with the comet that's coming in. There should be a gravitational tug at of the Earth starting, I believe, in September 23rd. And
I heard it was September 26th. There was some video or some. State that on the 26th we were supposed to experience a major earthquake.
I'm sorry, the 26th, yes, the 26th.
The 26th, yeah. And whether or not that'll happen, it'll be interesting to see. But that's the first alignment with the comet, and so I'm kind of curious to see if that's only a couple days away.
Well, but Leo, I've been watching this build-up, and I've been watching the earthquake build-up.
Yeah.
Watched the earthquakes throughout the world every day, and you know I could see some kind of an energy field go up and down the West Coast, and you know in the last couple of days we've had multiple quakes, and when I say multiple I'm talking about quite a few recent ones, and they're more extensive, I should say. So I don't know, Leo. I hate to call the shots, and I think I've emailed a few people that this could be the big one, Mama, in a sense of starting something. And I got to go back to the original prophecy of the red kachina and the blue kachina.
Right.
And I mean, it's scary for me because that could be among us right now.
George, quite frankly, I'm not. It doesn't scare me as much as it. I get a little wired a bit, but not to say the least. When I think about it, but it doesn't really scare me because I it's part of what we've been talking about for the last 4 years, And
see, the reality of it scares me that it's coming closer and closer.
Yeah, and I mean the fact that it's only that this great earthquake could happen in on the 26th, which is only 3 days away, is really really quite alarming. But I think what's more alarming is that if that actually happens, then that gives much more credence to the October 28th day of the end of the Mayan calendar.
Mm. Now, where is that earthquake exactly supposed to happen, Leo?
Worldwide.
Oh, how could it happen worldwide?
Earthquakes on that day.
Like multiple ones, different.
Multiple earthquakes, yeah. Multiple earthquakes.
Wow.
Major fault lines because of the comet will be
coming close. Yep.
Will be so close to it. I don't know if it, I can't remember if it was the red or blue. I think it's the red planet. Not the red planet, but the red comet, Elenin. That's going to be very very close to us, and between the sun and the moon, between the sun and the Earth, rather.
Right.
And
that alignment between the sun, that and several other, plus the planets, all in the same direction, all aligned, will be pulling us. And
so there'll be a lot of intensity of pull on the Earth.
That's correct, right.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a great gravitational shift, and which is all, again, part of the polar shift that we're supposed to be experiencing at this time, right? And that, and by having that, and then once the blue star comes into play, and there are several other dwarf stars that are coming in, that what that's going to cause is the Earth to stop, completely stop, and for 3 days, it'll darken out the skies. The sun will be darkened out. There won't be any sun, all right? And then the Earth will begin to revolve around the other way, turning on its axis in the opposite direction. So, and that will be the time when we enter this period of mass ascension, all right? And which we talked about last week, and how physically we'd be affected, but that's right around the corner now, So
if I can jump in for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
Please do.
It's what you're saying is right, Leo. We talked about all this stuff.
Yep.
But the point I want to raise here is then what? I mean, we've been building and building and building about this and that and when it's going to happen and so forth. And now it's here. And, I mean, how should I react or we react to this when, we were all before just doing a lot of signing, by thinking this and thinking that, but does it matter? And my whole thinking here is that this buildup, this concentration, has done nothing but build an anxiety level within my own heart. And is it important or not important? And I don't know. I don't know how to take this. It's here, yes. I do admit it, it's here. But what are you supposed to do after it comes here? I mean, you let it go?
That's what that
choice.
I was talking to Anthony Bryce the other day.
Yes.
And,
hi, Anthony, if you're still listening, my friend.
Yeah, I don't
think
know
of him often,
yeah. But tonight, but yeah, possibility. But I wanted to say that what he said to me was encouraging, because he said, you know, Leo, he says, I've been listening to those, I've been going back and listening to some of these shows, he says, that you've done. He says, all those shows, he says, are almost prophetic. He said they're like prophecies. He says because everything is coming true. Everything you guys spoke about years ago are coming true today. He says it's all here now. And he says it's really unnerving. And I said, and I thought about it for a minute. I said, yeah, you know it is, but at the same time, we've experienced it. I mean, we researched it, we saw it, we learned this, and
personally,
shared it
with
almost 100,000 people now, George. Almost 100,000 people have listened to our programs, you know, and that's just on this Blog Talk show. Not,
God
not
bless you.
TV or our FM programs, and the amazing thing about it is that what we've spoken about. These things aren't things that people just easily forget. You know what I mean? It's like they'll remember, and that's why people. It's so odd when I look at the archives on our programs that the archives are swelling and swelling and swelling every day. You know, going back 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? That people are just being gravitated to the old programs. You know, it's amazing, and you know, so I'm so thrilled. That we were able to give that information, you know, to the public, and the public now is waking as they're awakening, they're finding our programs on the internet, and they're coming to them in droves, and at the same time, I feel the need that we have to continue with these with our predictions, you know. With the information that we have, and not be afraid of them, but be bold and just go ahead with them and say, look, this is the best information that we have to date, based on Kalman's work, based on Wilcox's work, based on whoever's work, and based on our own interpretations. And being his guides, I believe that in some way we are guides for people who are wondering what the hell is going on. And we're saying, yeah, we're not sure what's going on, but here is the latest thing. You decide with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I think we've made that contribution, if you will, to the great ascension that we're nearing, and you know, just as many other people are doing in their own ways. But I don't I just think we have to applaud. Along in the same direction that we're going, because it appears that we are on the right path, you know. And you know,
well,
that path.
We're on a. When you say we're on a right path, you know, I don't know if I would say that. This path has caught my attention, and it's not that I'm good or bad, or I look for good or bad, or I'm on a positive or negative path. You know, whatever. Whatever synchronicities attached itself to me in this life, you know,
right.
I don't second guess it, and that's after I accepted it in a sense. But you know, I just don't accept things lightly, because the problem is now I've learned this, is that I don't have that much time. I mean, I can, you know, people send me books to review and so forth, and you know, I don't have time on some of the stuff. You know, to go into it, and you know, when I say, I remember astrology years ago. You know, I had to take off, I think, a year in studying the Kabbalah to study astrology, and you know, it's something that it took a lot of my time. But my point is, I mean, things aren't like that now. I was speaking with one a good friend of mine, and we were talking about initiations and how. You know, it took us 10, 20 years to learn something, and yet now people can pick it up and learn it in 3 months. And I think it's great, you know, but it wasn't, the work wasn't available, you know, Not
it
that many years ago.
Available, no. Now you can put in a phrase and you get, millions of words of reference, into a computer, as opposed to back then when you had to go to stores and have to go to bookshops and anywhere else that you could find this stuff, you didn't even have computers, at that point. So,
Lila,
are
you still there?
I remember doing studies and coming across things, and I relied heavily upon synchronicity, if you will. But at that time, I just believed it was psychic, gravitational, whatever, energy.
Okay.
That led me to whatever it was that I needed to find out. I would come across something, or would have a discussion with somebody, or find out about something. Then I would, go to the bookstore or go to the library and try to look up certain, facts and figures. And I used to spend, hundreds and hundreds of hours in public and university libraries researching things that, obscure details, obscure facts, or obscure writers or philosophers and stuff like that, just to try to piece together these dreams and these illusions and these conclusions that I would draw from my daily life, things that would come to me in dreams, and things that would come to me in psychic meditations. And this was back, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago even. I think it started with me around 18, 19 years old, and maybe 17, 18, 19 years old when I started having these visions. But then as they grew, and as they became more powerful in my life, they started to be powerful enough to create my direction in my life that I was going, and then I found myself reading all kinds of esoteric works and getting into mysticism and getting into areas that were far beyond the scope of the normal guy reading. Normal day readings, but it wasn't until the advent of the internet when my life just freaking exploded. With knowledge, it was like, and it wasn't until probably the early 90s, the late 90s, and 2000 and 2001 or so, when the internet became available and all this information started to flow on the internet, and you could find things and through things like word processing, not word processing, but Explorer, and the different websites and the different search engines. And today the internet is just one big incredible, it's like tapping into the Akashic record, isn't
mm-hmm.
it, George?
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's just like that. It's like you just feel this incredible. Whatever you want, whatever you're thinking of, you can just put it right into a search engine and just press search, and it'll come up with something, and you'll find all this incredible information.
Leo, what I like about this is that we're doing more than this. We've integrated with Silicon Life. Think about that. We've integrated ourselves with silicones or crystals. Take a look at what we're using. It's just like a GPS system. They hone in to a signal, a frequency.
Yeah.
And right now, they have machines that will pick up minute frequencies as a human, and of certain life forms. And, this is the technology that we have available to us now, so it's instant.
Oh, I know.
So how do they use those machines, George?
Excuse me?
How do they use those machines?
Well, I really don't know, but if you want to look into nanotechnology, understand that we have something here that is artificial. It's not real, but it's a machine. And it actually is designed to integrate with the cell itself. And with that is through crystals and through different signals that they use back and forth. So I'm just using that as an example.
Oh, okay.
And we have crystal even pacemakers that are put inside our body, and in a form of crystals, these crystals regulate with our biological regulation, our biological signals, and they're able to work with it. And you know, it's like an automatic. An automatic signal, if something is out of whack, you know, this crystal has the energy, has the knowledge, you know, to activate another line of communication that will tell you of something is not right here. But it's like being connected with another circuit of activity that's going on, but it's from a different life form than our carbon life form. And, you know, this is the earth around us is made up of about 70% of silicone. And that's what we're talking about. You know, it's kind of funny. If you take a look at the evolution of just money, and money at one time used to be gold, and so something of value, diamonds, you know, arrowheads, seashells. And
was
it was just
something
that had value, that had purpose, or it had some value to it. And, you know, we've gone to that to notes saying that we have, let's say, 30 gold nuggets, you know, in the safe that belongs to Joe Blow. And he can go out and buy something with knowledge that that person could go and take some of that money that he has set aside and take it, or some of that gold for themselves. But we've gone from that to, you know, to actually dollar bills that was backed by gold and silver and proper coinage. And then we abolished that, and all we have now is a credit card, a ledger, and a book, which signifies a credit, just like a Federal Reserve note. It's just a note saying it's equal to this amount, and it's actually worthless.
Well, it's supposedly backed by the price of oil, but, you know.
But what do you mean backed by the price of oil?
Well, it was supposed to be backed by oil. You know, that's what our all the oil transactions are bought and sold through the U.S. dollar bill, right? And that's why we invaded Libya. That's why we invaded Iraq. And that's why we go into every other country that tries to screw around with trying to trade oil for something else.
All right, let's back up, Leo. A U.S. dollar that you're talking about is worthless.
Yeah, but
there's
no value in it. But it's backed by oil. So whatever the price of oil is regulates backs up the price of the dollar. Or so it's been. But now what's happening is people are saying, well, screw you. Why should you be the world reserve currency? All right? You know, when you guys are borrowing, you know, to stay alive, you know, there's no value in your currency anymore. All right? You know, you're depending on the Chinese to buy your currency. You're depending on all these other countries that can't afford to buy your stuff anymore. All right,
Leo, what you say is backed by oil. Now, if I buy, let's say, 1,000 barrels of oil from you, right, well, how do I pay you? If I buy 1,000 barrels of oil from you, how do I pay you?
Cash.
What kind of cash?
American dollars.
Oil?
American
dollars, but that's worthless. That's worthless. That's no value.
No, that is what the system has been. And that's what they're bitching about now, is they're saying, why should we give our oil to you for American dollars when we know that now your American dollar isn't worth crap? So what we want now is we want it in gold. And that's why
you're caught in the illusion.
Yeah,
you're caught into the illusion.
Asking for their gold back. and we don't have it. You know, they want to be paid in gold. We don't have the gold, all right, anymore. The Federal Reserve has stolen all of that, all right, and you know, and anything else that we have, and if they've taken that as collateral, all right,
which is
and,
what,
and issued these worthless goddamn dollar bills, all right, and. If we just abolish the Fed, we could have all of our money back, get rid of these sons of bitches of thieves, and have a normal country again. But you know that ain't gonna happen, all right, until we have somebody who can't get bought off by the Fed, or by you know, that's the way it is. So
something is wrong in Denmark, that's for sure. But if nothing else,
it's being exposed now more than ever because
there you go.
The European banks are going to hell. The American banks are going to hell, and the American government's gone to hell. Okay, so you got all of Europe and all of North America, sucking wind. Okay, and the rest of the world knows it, and that's why most of these other countries aren't accepting dollar bills. Christ, even Mexico won't accept the dollar bill anymore. All right.
So what would you like to do, Leo?
What do you mean?
What would you like to happen?
What I would like to see happen is to see us do away with the Fed, abolish the Fed, so they can't be lending trillions and trillions and trillions of our dollars out there, indebting us to the rest of the world, all right? And I would like to see them be abolished, see all of our debt abolished, all right, and start anew. And every country starts new, all right? They can start issuing their own currency or everybody pays in gold, or whatever it may be. But
then they'll tell me how to do that again, how to redo that. You know, you're going to be replacing one with another. It's not easy, Leo.
All you got to do is just stop paying. I mean, you know, you're a guy who's always paid your bills. Well, I'm a guy who once in a while has not paid my bills, okay? You know how easy it is not to pay your bills, right? Especially when you haven't got the money to pay them. It's simple, right? You just say, fuck you, I don't owe you the money. You know, come and get it out of my ass.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And that's what's happening in Greece. That's what's happening in Italy. That's what's happening in the United States. That's what's happening everywhere. Saying, fuck you, bankers, we don't have the money, okay? What do you want? Right, you want to come and get it? Well, we'll fight you tooth and nail before you come and get it. We don't owe it to you anymore. Screw you. Go suck wind. That is the way it is. Right?
Leo?
Their debt is an illusionary debt. Right? We put a dollar in their miserable bank, and they lend out $12. All right, of imaginary money at some unbelievable rate of interest. All right. And say, oh, okay, you know, where the hell are they getting this money from? They're not. They don't have it. They're just inventing it. And we gave them the right to do that because we gave them the charter to have the damn bank. Banks
but
are
to
all
you,
broke.
That's okay.
So if we say, screw you, banks, all right, screw you and screw your ancestors and screw your future, we don't want you. We never want another bank the rest of our for eternity, and we never want to be in debt. Okay,
then we're
going to
have a problem then.
Then what happens? All right? What happens, George? Guess what happens?
People won't
do it. And that's exactly what's happening now. Why are the banks all going under? Because people are saying, fuck you, we're not paying you anymore. All right? That's what's happening. The banks are all sucking wind. And you know what else is happening right now? People
what's
all
that?
Over the are taking all of their cash out of the banks because they don't trust the banks with their cash, all right? They're going to stuff it in their mattresses before they give it to the banks, all right?
Uh-huh.
And that's what's happening. Greece right now, you know, they're about ready to file. They're going under in about the next, by the end of the week, all right? All the banks have been stripped of all their cash. All their retail depositors and everybody, investors, everybody's pulled out of all the Greek banks. Italy's on its way out the door. The only thing holding us here in the United States, all right, is that the media hasn't pushed the panic button yet. right? So people are still complacent, saying, oh, we got the FDIC and all this shit. Well, when you realize that half the banks in the country, more than half the banks in the country, and all of the major banks in this country are insolvent, all right, you understand why Wall Street just lost 500 points in the last couple of days, okay? And that and most of that hit was on banking stocks, okay, and financial stocks, all right? So that's what's happening, George. I mean, people are saying, up yours, you know, taking their money out. We don't trust bankers anymore. They're, you know, we don't trust them with our money. We don't trust them with our gold. We don't trust them at all, all right? And that's what's happening. And within, I would say, by November, I mean, you're going to see a run on the bank in this country like there ain't, like, no friggin' tomorrow, all right? I will bet you.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. You know what? There is a brighter side to all of this.
And
there
that,
is a
George?
Brighter side to all of this.
We
you
can issue
that?
Our own money tomorrow. You know?
No, that wouldn't do any good. Who needs money? We need no stinking money. Because
well,
we can
co
produce it. We can co produce it. If we need something, we just produce it out of thin air. Just like booty. This is what the Aborigines did for years and years, and you know that was just the consciousness wave that they were on. But you know, I, Leo, before we close off, I want to say that there's a lot of pressure out there right now, and I feel a lot of pressure on me personally. I really do, because you know, I think when this caught my attention about a month and a half ago, and how this stuff was really, you know. Making me focus in on a lot of the things I believed and I've been following over the years. And like I said, I've talked about the Hopis and, you know, some of the prophecies. And, you know, I'll be darned that, you know, the scenarios that are being played out here with normal physics, as I understand them or it's explained to me, is saying that, you know, you better get out because you could get burned. I think that, like with 9/11, I mean, it was something that was very bad, but yet a lot of it, there was a lot of good that came out of that. And if nothing, just re-remembering last week, you know, it made me feel good that people still have a sense of unity when it comes to working together. And I'm saying that we don't need no stinking government in the sense we have each other. And,
yeah,
you know.
We had that all along, George. You know,
yeah,
but,
I know that, but it took something. It's taking something to grab our attention, and I think if nothing else, the weather patterns have. You know, we talked about the war that's being fought in this country. You know, not only you know, outside of our country, but the wars with the weather patterns and the grandmothers who are on the soup lines feeding those sandbaggers in the middle of the night to hold back the dikes. And I mean, that's a war against time, but a war against nature. And
yeah.
Believe me, that's not getting any easier.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So it's
that's secondary.
Well.
Yeah. What's primary is just staying alive and being able to hold your own, regardless of, you know, how you're going to pay for it tomorrow, because we'll deal with it tomorrow. And if there's a will, there's a way. I do believe that. But I think it's the opposite of the negativity that we could share or we could experience or want to experience.
Well,
but
here's
the goodness that can come out of it.
I just read that J.P. Morgan is forgiving billions of $40 billion worth of credit card debt, all right?
Great,
Because they can't, number one, their paperwork is wrong, and number two, there's no way they can possibly collect it, all right? So they've given up on it. The
$40 billion got a hell of a break there when the government bailed their ass out. $700 billion. It's about time they turned around and gave their customers a break.
Absolutely, but not only that. What's happening now is you're going to find they're foreclosing. But George, you realize how long it'll take to clean up 2 to 3 million foreclosures. All right, just in the last year alone, you know, they haven't even begun this year's stuff. All right?
That's an illusion,
and
Leo.
It's impossible. That's why all the world investors are pulling out of these mortgage-backed securities, all right? Because they realize that there was so much fraud involved with them, and that people are going under right and left, okay? And even the stuff that was supposedly graded A paper is now worthless shit because none of it can be collected. So all of these assets that were bought by pension funds and everything and everyone, all right, and sold by Goldman Sachs and the boys, all right, is a worthless piece of junk, all right? And so many of your banks and financial institutions were holding on to some, they're holding on to these things, were buying them themselves, all right? And it's just a big black hole that the entire financial system, worldwide financial system, is being sucked right
into.
So
Leo, that's changing now, and I'll tell you why. You know, if you turn it around, 90% of it is a possession. Possession is 9/10 of the law, my friend. And I'm just saying now the banks don't have possessions of all these mortgages and these houses that they're talking about.
That's right.
It's people
that's
living
right. They don't have it. They can't prove that they do.
The second thing is that these people who are in these houses also have guns. And I'll tell
that's
you
right.
what. They can't take the guns away from us. They're trying, and the rest of the world has felt some of the scars from that. But they won't take the American gun away from American people.
And you
got to
remember one thing, all right? I mean, for the 2 or 3 million foreclosures that were just happened last year, not to mention the 2 or 3 million more that are happening this year, people are just catching up to last year, all right? There's only so many process servers and so many police officers and whatever that can go to these houses. Most people are living in their houses for a year, 2 years, or more before the paperwork gets to before they can do anything. All right, and the banks say, "Oh, you can't live here anymore. We're going to change your locks." Big fucking deal. Change my lock. I'll change it tomorrow. You know what I mean?
It's changing, Leo. Yeah, it's changing.
And then what's happening is you got all the homeless people going back living in these houses that the banks have foreclosed on, right?
Yeah.
For free, you know. You got organizations around the country that are just for the hell of it are putting homeless people, finding homeless people shelter in these foreclosed houses. That you know, there's millions of them around the country. So people are living in these foreclosed homes that were used to be homeless, and they're still paying nothing, and they're you know, and the banks can't do a damn thing about it because they don't have enough people, money, time, or energy to secure all these places, you know. So it's just a big joke, George. Now it's becoming a big
possession
joke.
Is 9/10 of the law.
That's right. And prove to me that you own this, and I'll give it to you. If not, get the hell out of my house. You know what I mean?
Who the hell? Why do I have to prove it to you? Get the hell out of here.
Get out of my
house. Oh, Leo.
What are you going to do?
Leo, we've reached the 9 o'clock,
what,
my friend.
That's what it's coming down to, and that's what the awakening is all about, George, I think, is people start awakening to the fact that they can say, up yours. You know, get out of here. You know, I own this. Prove to me that this isn't. And then, you know, prove to me this is not my house. Well, have you paid your mortgage? Yeah, prove to me I didn't. You know what I mean? Whatever you can say.
Right.
You know, you can say against them. You know, you don't own this house. You know, your paperwork's all bullshit anyway. All right?
Yeah.
I never signed that agreement. I never read that. You never told me about this. You know?
Yeah.
And they wind up going to court, and the banks lose. They're losing right and left. All right? So, you know, there has to be, already the government's already given a 1 year moratorium on bank foreclosures. They'll probably wind up having to give another one. So, it's just crazy, man. So I think we're there, George. And I'm so looking forward to next month. You can't do it.
And my question is, what do you do? What do you do now? And I'm going to leave that up until our next time. To think about it. So we're there now, so what do you do? I mean,
you're going to do the same thing I'm doing now. You know?
What is that?
For it to happen, because there's nothing I can do to stop it. And I just enjoy the ride until I get there, and hopefully I can live to see the day, you know?
When
we ascend to a different level of evolution, you know, and a human dimension. So, yeah, that's my hope, George, and I hope that should be everybody's hope. Just stand back, wait, and watch it happen.
Well, that's the point. What do you do? Is that it's ascension. What do you do? What do you do next? Ascension. Ascension to do what?
To do. Get ready and ascend. If everybody gets a chance
ascend
to listen
what?
To the last show, when I talked to James Fadiman about the psychedelic Explorer's Guide.
Yeah, good show, by the way.
Excuse me. I still get over this cold. But James Fetterman was talking about how to have a psychedelic trip, and I told him that ascension is essentially the same thing.
Yes.
You know. So if you want to get ready for the ascension, go out and have a couple of mushrooms or drop a tablet.
Well, no, don't say that, Leo.
Not the same thing. You know what I mean?
It was a good show.
What's that?
It was a good show.
Oh, you listened to it?
Yeah, I did. It was a good show.
I had a lot of fun with that show, yeah. Yeah, he was a good guy. But anyway.
He was right on the money.
Yeah, he was. But overall, I think all we got to do is just sit back and do the best we can. Try to feed ourselves and try to get by, you know.
No. I'll do more than just feed myself to get by. I'll enjoy, sit back, and have a cigar.
I mean, we only got a couple of months. Not even a couple of months, a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
But once we get to that October 28th, let's see what happens on that day. And let's see what happens. Give it a couple of days to kick in. And then by the end of, by the beginning of November, all right, then we can really decide where we're headed, I think, you know.
No, I don't think we have to decide. I think our direction will guide us to where we're supposed to be.
I think our direction will always be there, but then we can focus on our future. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, I think the future is already, as far as I am committed to the future, I'm looking forward to the next month or two. And I'm going to continue our programming, and I'm going to continue. I'm not going to hide in the cellar I'm just waiting to see what happens. And if all this comes true, because Anthony said, everything we've talked about, George, has happened. Years before, we were talking about it 2, 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And God damn it, here it is now. And it's all happening. This collapse is happening. It's happening. And the speeding up of time, the crack in the Earth's surface, the chaos. And collapse of governments, collapse of systems, financial systems, corporations, major entities are all falling down. The rise of the people are happening. You know what I mean?
There you go. So, look at friend. My head has to find the pillow.
Okay, guy.
So I'll say good night. And Lila, if you're still there, dear, have a good week. And I'll be looking for you in the funny papers.
All right, Julie.
Leo.
Yeah.
Goodbye now.
I heard. I said good night.
Okay, good night, Dave.
Good night,
right,
George.
I'll speak with you in the next couple of days. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend, will you? Good luck.
Thank you. You too.
That was George Dixon, and we want to say good night to everybody, and we hope you had a good week. And check out, if you will, please check out last night's program when we did Psychedelic Explorers with James Fetterman. And give you some idea of where we're headed.
Somewhere out there, Leo.
What's that?
Somewhere out there.
Somewhere out there in psychedelic land. But nevertheless, I want to thank you and wish you the best. And join us next Tuesday night for the L.A. Steel Show.
Good night, folks.